and glorification which comes to us at death. Now, I know that some, if not many, have compared crossing the Jordan into the promised land as a depiction of crossing over from this life into heaven. I think of the spiritual deep river. I long to get over to campground, the only way slaves would ever be released from this lifelong bondage, at least before the Emancipation Proclamation. I think of the song, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye and see that fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound, bound for the promised land." Well, yes, we are bound for the promised land, but let me tell you, what happens when Joshua leads the people of Israel across Jordan, again on dry land, God's intervention? They go up against one enemy after another, after another, after another. It's warfare. It's spiritual combat, sometimes mano a mano, which I think is an apt description of what it means to be a Christian. Christian life is a warfare from the moment of spiritual rebirth to the moment of physical death, at which times our souls are made perfect in holiness and immediately pass into glory. Well, the book of Joshua contains lessons that are greatly needed today. Many. Let me mention just one. Joshua rejects the so-called one-sided, easy believism evangelism, which is so prevalent in our day, which tells the sinner that all he or she has to do is accept Christ as personal Savior, pray the sinner's prayer, and by that prayer of acceptance, heaven is thereby assured. Well, Joshua makes it abundantly clear that there must be a fight to be fought, a race to be run, before we will ever hear the words of Jesus who will say, hopefully to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." In other words, James put it this way, faith without resulting works is what? Dead, not faith at all. No. Faith, true faith, saving faith, acts upon the Word of God written. Not perfectly, but that's the aim in life. Without holiness, we're told in Hebrews, no one will see the Lord. We fight the fight of faith. The fight of faith to believe the promises of God recorded over and over and over in Scripture. And beloved, as God commanded Joshua, so he commands us. Verses 8 and 9. "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you shall be so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now again, our study of Joshua will make it abundantly clear that when we trust and obey, we can, by grace, do all things through Christ who gives us strength. You think, man, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would make a promise to us, to me, like the promise that he made of old to Abraham? Wouldn't that be just marvelous? Well, actually, beloved, he has. He has. We read in Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14, these words, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Don't look at this as ancient. Look at this as God's continuance of his redemptive history in the world for you and for me. I think again about Genesis chapter 15, when God instructed Abram to take the animals, to cut them in two, to lay them out on the ground. Later that night, God would pass through those pieces, a flaming fire pot and flaming torch, saying in effect, listen, Abram, if I don't fulfill my promises to you, my covenant promises to you, then may it be done to me what you have done to these animals. Just cut me up. Listen, God has made a covenant with his people. We have not kept our covenant with him. What do we deserve? The wrath and curse of God, illustrated so remarkably and dramatically by what happened in Genesis 15. Listen, Jesus is our Joshua. In fact, Joshua is the Hebrew version of Jesus. God is our deliverer, loosely translated. Jesus, our Joshua, leads us to victory over the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He brings us out of death into light. He brings us, by his grace, all the way home safely to the real promised land, the new heaven and the new earth. And God says, don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now listen, do you really believe that? Or do you just nod and say, oh yeah. Do you really believe that? That God is with you when you're hurting? Physically, emotionally. Do you believe that God is with you personally, individually, in this world that's going to hell in a handbasket, so it seems? Do you really believe that? That's the fight of faith. Not just that God is there, but God is here with me. God is working everything together for my good, my salvation. And God is at work in my life by his word and spirit to build me up into faith, to strengthen me, and to use me. You know, we live in a wacky world. I've called it the theater of the absurd. Found out watching R.C. Sproul's tape that that's not original with me. I heard it from him. Theater of the absurd, and it's just becoming more and more and more and more absurd. We're surrounded by neo-pagans. How are we to live in this world? By faith in the promises of God. By faith and dependence in our Joshua, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all righteousness, who substituted himself both in life and in death, that we might be reconciled to God, and that we might have the hope. And when I use that word, I'm talking about something that's viable and real and certain. The hope that the day is coming when I will be saved to sin no more and will forever be with the Lord. Do you believe that? I pray you do. We come to the table today to reinforce that faith. We come to partake of the body of Christ, symbolized by the bread, and to drink his blood shed for us on the cross, in the juice, in the wine. Remember, the wine is on the inside, the juice on the outside. But we come to feast upon him who loved us and gave himself for us, to remind ourselves that salvation is of the Lord. That everything we have and hope to be is of the Lord, is of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, may we learn the overarching lesson of Joshua. Obedient faith to our Joshua, Jesus Christ, is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Spend some